Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What are we doing here? No. Why can't you leave the cookie alone? Okay. I don't know why y'all gotta mess with the cookie. The cookie is just fine as it is, right? It's got, right? So, like, maybe as far as it goes, some, like, brown butter in your chocolate chip cookie with some really good chocolate. And then, like, if you want a sprinkle of salt, if you don't want a sprinkle of salt, right? Bing, bang, boom.
I love a good cookie.
There's nothing better than, like,
I'm simple like that.
A perfect, like, chocolate chip cookie here. Like, why we gotta mess with the cookie? All of a sudden, there's ice cream and like, a crinelle and like, a sugar swirl. Get out of here. No.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we are discussing restaurant desserts, and here to help us with today's episode is the host of In Your Mouth Podcast,
In Your Mouth
Munoz.
Hey,
yes. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Welcome, welcome, Michael. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to not be driving the car, you know,
for once. Yo, put your seatbelts on, take a ride, man.
Yeah.
So you are the host of In Your Mouth Podcast, and I'm wondering, among all the things that you put in your mouth, I'm hoping dessert is one of them.
Most definitely. I always say I am a savory girl over a sweet, but like once I have my, you know, sodium intake, you know, federally regulated sodium intake. You know, I'm definitely a cookie monster. I've been having pregnant lady cravings for cookies a lot lately.
Okay.
Cookies and chocolate. Chocolate's it for me, hon.
Yeah.
So savory, am I going to guess that a salted caramel something is in your
definitely. But it has to be the right amount of salt. There is this cookie shop that's around where I live that I go to, I frequent, but some of their cookies are very salty. Like they serve a salty cookie. And if that's your thing, great. But like, I don't need that much of a salt pocket,
okay.
You know, like an over-salted something, but I definitely like a hint of, you know, a flake.
Like balance.
A flaky yeah. salt.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you do need a balance. You need just a hint to balance out the sweet, but too much salty is like, is it really dessert now?
Right? I mean, but then again, how far are we going to bounce this ball? Is a cheese plate dessert?
Oh, I love cheese.
Look at that. Look, dessert? Stumped. Stumped. You were like, I didn't expect that.
Maybe like a brie cheese.
No, I mean, there's a million restaurants across the world you can go to. And as dessert, a cheese plate is on there. Cheese plate with you know, some pork.
Some fruit, yeah.
Pork.
Oh, yeah.
And
a little port wine.
Some dessert wine. A little Manchego, a little fig jam.
Ooh.
I think, so what's our definition of dessert then? Is it just simply something that's after dinner or does it have to be sweet?
I mean, you are the modern waiter. Are you not? And so, how are we defining it today? Hello?
Okay. So let's look at, we're going to analyze some favorite restaurant desserts and anything from the old guard, the classics, the favorites. that are kind of have that old school, old timey feel, to the heavy hitters, the must haves, and whatever your final, your contenders are, the worthy, but in their own right, they deserve to be, you know, mentioned and talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're missing a component, because what are the characteristics of a good dessert, would you say?
Was that one for me?
Characteristics
of a good dessert. Well, not overly sweet. I mean, I guess this is subjective, right? Because there are people out there that like really love like candies, like, you know, like whether it's chocolate, there are chocolate haters out there. So what qualifies a good dessert to me is that it's balanced within like sweetness and things that I love. And things that I love are certainly chocolate, and it doesn't have to be overly exaggerated, for lack of a better term. Like, simple is best. You know, I love a good tiramisu, right? And you know it's a good tiramisu when they're really not that sweet, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And but I tend to drink my calories these days. Give me an espresso martini, you know?
Oh, there you go. Ooh, now you're talking my language.
And call
right
it
there.
Dessert.
There you go. We're going to certainly get into all of that. And for me, the characteristics of a good dessert is I eat with my eyes as well. So I like presentation. Presentation is as important as having
the dessert itself.
Having a good taste in the dessert. So for me, the colors have to be varied. The dimensions, whether it's, you know, Jeff, I steer away from a cookie because it has like one dimension. It's, well, two actually, but it's relatively flat and round. And
With the cookie, you got to add a little ice cream, a little whipped cream, a little, you know, cherry. You brighten it up. You add some life to it.
Okay, so Danny, you like whipped cream?
No, but you were just talking about eating with your eyes.
Only in
true.
You know, so it gives that, yeah, exactly. But it does give that visual appearance, and it adds that dimension of layers. Like, true. Let's say if you had something as simple as a cookie, then you added ice cream, then you put a little whipped cream, then you put, or a cherry or sprinkles or whatever you want. It makes it grow, and it gives it depth.
What are we doing here? No. Why can't you leave the cookie alone, okay? I don't know why y'all got to mess with the cookie. The cookie is just fine as it is, right? It's got, right? Maybe as far as you go, some like brown butter in your chocolate chip cookie with some really good chocolate. And then like if you want a sprinkle of salt, if you don't want a sprinkle of salt, right? Bing, bang, boom.
I love a good cookie.
There's nothing better
milk,
than like a...
I'm simple like
a,
that.
A perfect like chocolate chip cookie here. Like, why we gotta mess with the cookie? All of a sudden there's ice cream and like a crinelle and like a sugar swirl. Get out of here. No. Nope. Nope.
Now, you know what? I'm messing with the cookie. I find the cookie to be an adjunct. You know, I'll put it on something. I'll crumble the cookie up. For me, I'm a soft cookie person.
Yeah, so I'm fresh out the oven when I eat my cookies.
You can't wait.
I like to. I like they need to sit for like 3 minutes, but just so they can get that crispy bottom. But that's about it. I like them still warm.
All right, now let's talk desserts of the old classics. You mentioned tiramisu. That is the first thing that comes to my mind with the classic dessert. You'll find restaurants from your childhood, you know, that's on there. That's a banger, the tiramisu.
Mm-hmm.
What else is in that, you know, genre for you?
I mean, there's Bananas Foster, there's creme brulee, there is every restaurant across the world, this molten chocolate lava cake.
Nope.
Can we get a little bit more creative out there, y'all?
Now, actually, that just took the place of the, remember the original brownie bowl? So I think the lava cake is just taking over that.
I mean, where are we eating here? Is this Applebee's or is this the French Laundry? Like,
well, back in the day when I was a kid, everybody had a brownie bowl.
Oh, man. I don't think so. Everybody does. I mean, the lava cake reminds me of a cruise ship. You know, it's like you're going to have to me, that's that's hitting the chocolate lover cake side. The melted chocolate. It's it's not that imaginative. I agree with you. Where are you going with this lava cake now, today? But it is one of the old school ones. Like,
yeah, and I mean, there's a place and time for it. But like, you know, I'm paying. If we're going someplace nice and I'm paying all this money, you're really going to try to serve me a lava cake? Really?
No.
Like, and it, you put all this money into this restaurant and you couldn't come up with anything better than a lava cake?
You got to at least change the, change the name.
Yes, or like open TikTok or something and like steal an idea, you know, or something. Yeah. Like, really?
True.
You were that out of ideas there for dessert that you had. I just paid like $200 a head here. Not that I can afford that for some dinner. Like, but
isn't that normal in New York City? Pretty much.
Almost. Yeah. Legit. Not where they're serving brownie bowls. Okay.
Oh, that's only $150 there. My bad.
Yeah, you're getting a brownie bowl. Your check's under a hundo for sure. For a four top. What about the apple pie? Let's round out the old guard with the apple pie. That's hard to dress up too.
Yes. I mean, all right. I feel like we need to, because this is such a broad topic. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the old guard desserts, right? And I'm assuming, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about going out to eat, or are we talking in-home desserts?
We're talking about going out to eat.
Sure.
To eat. Great. And then at what level are we talking about going out to eat here? Because, I mean, if we're going out to a run-of-the-mill, a chain restaurant, sure, we'll find an apple pie. If we're going out to like someplace nicer, you know, you spending some money to take somebody out, you may not see that because that's not necessarily as common, right? We'll see like a galette des rois or an apple tart or something like that, versions of that.
Of the classics, yes.
Of the classic, but like, so it's just like, yeah, apple pie is definitely an old standard, but at what level are we talking here? Because I don't necessarily think that I'm seeing that, and I mean, granted, I live in a certain special area that, like, you know, a food mecca, per se.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that at no matter what level you're eating, that's still kind of rare here in New York.
So let's go from, like, childhood until you had, like, your first job, and we'll call that old school. Because now that we have money, we venture out into different things, and we all kind of eat what we want to eat.
Yeah.
But let's go back nostalgic to when we were kids, when our parents were still paying.
Yeah, I mean, well.
He's trying to shoehorn that brownie bowl in there.
Yeah, I'm going to get back on plate.
Yeah, you really hold it onto that brownie bowl tight. Right?
It's like, come on, let it go. We got some money now.
I mean, yeah. Right? Like we've had a job for a minute, okay?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
So no, but like, I mean, yeah, sure. If we're eating at Bennigan's, RIP, an apple pie is certainly a thing. Like, you know, who mentioned, I don't know what I was talking about or with whom, the other day on the podcast, banana splits.
Oh, wow.
That's ice cream.
That is a throwback.
Sure.
That is. And I was like, are we even eating this anymore? Like, who is making this?
I don't even know.
That's there's a lot of junk in that, for sure.
There's a lot of stuff in that.
There's a lot of stuff in that.
And it's so overly complicated. It's just like, who is making this? Like, what? And who can digest that much dairy these days?
I mean, it's a lot.
Just looking at it, just like seeing it across the room, I'm running to the bathroom. Forget about
three scoops. Oh, man.
Forget about trying to ingest it.
Yeah, there's ice cream and whipped cream on the same damn plate.
You know?
Oh, toppings, everything. It's craziness.
Right?
And what about
and these kids with all these nut allergies and things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's over. That's why the banana splits is Splitsville. It's not as
canceled. It's gone.
Canceled. Yeah. Canceled quicker than Paula Deen was back in the day.
I went to one of her restaurants, and talk about desserts. They were just so sweet. It's outrageous.
Well,
it was too sweet.
Like, speaking of, like an icebox cake, delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. Oh, yeah. You know, old school desserts. Jell-O. Are we still eating Jell-O?
I've never had Jell-O in a restaurant, but.
But I have Jell-O in my fridge right now.
In New York, you go to a diner, you can get some peaches floating in Jell-O still.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Or in some of those New Jersey diners. I'm sure you could.
Oh, my gosh. That is a throw. I've never thought of that. Jell-O. That bundt cake mold.
Yeah.
And you could see that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the bangers, the heavy hitters, your must-haves if you're going out. Let's say, let's bring it up to a nicer restaurant.
Now we have a little bit of money.
Yeah, now we have a little bit of money. What's your must-have? When you open up that menu, are you looking for a souffle? Are you looking for...
A souffle? I feel like I've had a souffle once in my life, you know, because they're so temperamental that nobody wants to make them. But as far as like going out, you know, when I, there's one person that I go out with one of my friends that will always ask for a dessert menu. And okay. I'm always like, why? Why do we need it? You know, because we are going, like, we've already had a meal and we're planning on going out, and the minute the mm-hmm. dessert hits, we're more like going.
Oh yeah, that's comatose time. Exactly, you're right. If you're going out,
you're going to bed.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, I mean, there isn't
some
really
people...
much of like. I think one of the last things I had for dessert with him was like a tiramisu, or we go out to eat Indian a lot. So like, some lassi, delicious, some mango lassi. It's like ice cream. Basically,
okay,
it's like. South
How about
Asian
a cultural
cream?
Question? Does anyone do desserts like Americans do dessert? I find that we do like sugar like no one else.
Well, I mean, the French certainly do dessert.
True.
In a massive, massive way. I feel like there's a whole uncharted like African dessert sort of terrain that nobody is exploring or talking about, like things that contain sorrel, like hibiscus, and things like or like Caribbean, like Afro-Caribbean sort of, like, you know, that rum cake and a black cake and
oh, Marlon loves a good rum cake.
I mean, there is a whole uncharted world of that area of the universe, of the earth, that I feel like is uncharted and is doing things that are tropical and complex and spiced and okay. like really, really spiced and things that I feel like no one talks about.
I gotta look into that, because especially the African desserts. I'm from the Caribbean, so we do the black cake. We do they call it pudding, but it's not what you think.
It's not pudding. Yeah. And like, but even still, like the rice puddings and the tapiocas and like and things made with sweet plantain and even down to speaking about South Asian, Thailand and the coconut sticky rice. Delicious, right? Is it dessert? Because it's rice? Yes? No? Maybe it's, I mean, it's really sweet. And
true. Yeah, no, it's definitely a dessert item for them, yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think, yes, we as Americans are go big or go home as far as desserts go, because we have an addiction to, and this is a longer podcast for another time, we have an addiction to GMO processed white sugar.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
White bleached sugar. So it's obviously and things that are in excess, right? Things like diners, drive-ins and dives and like those like Food Network shows that like are like the, can you eat, how much of this one thing can you eat before you either throw up or win the prize? You know,
yes.
That thing.
Yeah.
So
like
it's
Man
like,
versus Food Style.
Yes. Or it's just like, you know, oversized ice cream things or oversized like, cakes or oversized, like, yeah,
or deep frying Twinkies. We definitely have
cornered the market in, like, we're just going to do it because we love, we have this white sugar addiction. But I think there's other places out there that are really doing dessert in a very special way that, like, isn't what we do.
And it's not too much. It just gives that little bit of balance.
Have you ever had black cake? Black cake is a lot.
Oh.
It's a lot.
Delicious. But it's a lot. You know?
Can't have a regular slice of that. You have to have a sliver. Yes. Get the idea.
Just a little piece.
Legit, because you're pouring rum on that for like 3 months.
Yes, you let it soak in and then you come back and hit it again. Boom. And then you come back and you hit it again. And then when it can't take any more, you top it off.
Exactly. Like my last date.
Oh, So let's switch gears a little bit and we'll play a game of fan or not a fan. And we'll talk about some desserts and get your opinion. You, Danny, as well. You could jump in at any time and just let me know what you feel about it. Although this one I know the answer to, as far as Danny's concerned. Fan or not a fan? Creme brulee.
I'm riding the fence on this one. I really
am. Come on. Our friendship depends on it.
Oh, really? Oh, God. Because it's so easy to, like, ruin.
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
It's so easy to ruin.
But a good creme brulee?
You got to keep it classic. You got to keep it classic.
A good creme brulee slaps. But is it real? But is it really, and this is why I'm on the fence, is it really all smoke and mirrors? Because all we really want to do is crack that glass sugar top.
Yeah.
That's all you really want to do. So is it more a sensory thing than an actual, like, oh, this is amazing?
But that is a part of how I love it. It's I'm actually hearing my dessert as well as seeing it and as well as tasting it. Love
it. Yeah, of course. I mean, food is all encompassing, but I don't know. I feel like it can be a little smoke and mirrors, right? Because we're all excited to crack this thing. And then it's just like, okay, it's creme brulee. Like, here we go. You know, almost like panna cotta, you know, panna cotta is like milk jello, right?
Yeah. But, yeah.
I'm going to get some flack from that from somebody, I'm sure.
Of course, yeah.
Not milk jello.
Just don't say anything bad about the tres leches. They'll come after you.
Oh, my God. Now, that's delicious. Can't eat it, but it's delicious.
Oh, man.
So, now, you know what? For me, I'm a fan. I'll just come over, and I'll be like, I'm a fan of the creme brulee.
All right. Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Yes. Okay. Mama makes a mean creme brulee, by the way.
I do, but I keep it simple. I'm not putting any, you know, hazelnut or, you know, just... It could only ruin it. I just keep it simple with the,
it's so good.
The real vanilla bean.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, you can't have too much of the cream part. It has to be a balance between the amount of actual body and the sugar. Because when you have those that are too deep, it's just the balance is off.
Yeah.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's talk about bread pudding. Fan or not a fan?
Bread pudding. Also controversial because you can really mess up a bread pudding.
You can.
You can mess that up.
Simple, stupid.
Bread pudding. Raisins or no raisins?
We'll start with no raisins because a lot of people are turned off by raisins. I happen to like them, but I get it.
Yeah, so I enjoy a raisin. No, if it doesn't have raisins, I don't want it. Give me the raisins.
Ah, okay. Nice.
You know? So
I agree with you, but I see where some people cannot stand a raisin.
They're nature's candy. What's not to stand about them?
Exactly. Question, Marlon, does your favorite bread pudding, and we know where you like it from, Okay. Does that have raisins in it?
It does not. It does not. Most, okay, Caribbean bread pudding has raisins almost all the time. Mm-hmm. And American bread pudding could be more towards the 30% with the raisins.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as far as restaurants are concerned, it's a great way to repurpose, you know, old bread. And most restaurants, they're going to serve bread, and then you're going to find them to have bread pudding. But like Michael said, you can mess it up by doing too much pudding.
You know, it comes out like too dry or too soggy or,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, a little known fact about me. I had a small stint as a custom cake baker for a little while. And so I used to do like custom like wedding cakes and things for people I had a cottage kitchen. That's the term. Like out of my 120 square feet in Times Square, right? It probably was illegal at the time. That
was many years ago. We're not talking about that.
Many years ago, but I used to do custom cakes. This is the cake that killed me.
OMG! Oh, that is beautiful.
That is,
folks, man. That is that. This is the perfect show for you.
What do you mean? They can see that. It's all good.
That is fantastic. That was fantastic.
Gorgeous. So yeah,
you know the sugars.
I do know the sugars very, very well. Right? Although I'm drinking monk fruit sugar in my coffee these days.
I've never even heard of monk fruit sugar.
Yeah, it's like low glycemic and keto, even though I'm not keto, so like it doesn't spike and there's like no calories allegedly. Okay. I don't know. I'm feeding myself chemicals, I feel.
I will look into that. I like the alternatives. And fan or not a fan? Carrot cake.
Definitely a fan. One of the wedding cakes I made was a full carrot cake wedding cake.
Okay.
That thing weighed like 50 pounds. Because, you know, carrot cake is heavy.
Carrot cake is heavy. Sometimes you can't even slice it. It starts to...
Yeah.
The inside starts to delish. Know, do a little...
Once again, carrot cake controversy. Raisins or no raisins, and then nuts or no nuts.
I do like nuts in my carrot cake.
I like nuts in my carrot cake.
Yes. I love it all.
He was gonna say I like nuts.
You don't know me.
I heard the stutter and I assumed. my apologies.
Listen, we are not on a we are not on my podcast that's named In Your Mouth. Like I can make jokes like that. I am a guest in someone's home here. Okay. I am trying to be respectful.
No, you're fine. You can let it all out. We don't mind.
We are very light here, and we don't take ourselves seriously. We like to
enjoy ourselves.
Make
but
our
it's high controversy, I find, about people and their carrot cake proclivities, liking nuts or no nuts in their carrot cake, and then raisins or no raisins.
Okay,
I'm a whole kitchen sink kind of guy.
Gotcha.
Get it in there. I know how you feel about cookies, so we shall move on. Now, this one is near and dear to me. Fan or not a fan? Sharing dessert.
I am absolutely a fan. My entire existence these days is all about sharesies. When I go out with anybody, especially if I know them, I'm like, can we just share everything? And then we start order. We'll pretend we're at someplace fancy and we'll course things out. So we'll order something, share it, order something else, share it, order an entree, share it, maybe order another entree, share it, you know, and then you get to taste everything.
The best of both worlds. Yeah.
Like
Marla doesn't do that. Marlon does not share. He does not share. He does not play well with other kids in the sandbox.
Not as far as dessert is concerned. Dessert, I'm a hoarder of the dessert. I'm like, I'll get your own. Get your own. Yeah, back. Fan or not a fan, whipped cream.
Homemade or ready whip?
See, I feel like I'm okay with homemade, and definitely the ready whip, no thank you.
Yeah, but exactly. That's the train I'm on. Unless Trader Joe's sells this coconut whipped cream.
Okay.
For the lactose kids. That is delicious.
Look at you coming through and, that, and that's like a ready
whip? Yeah, it's like a ready whip, but it's coconut-based, coconut cream.
Okay. Okay.
Fantastic.
My man has all the things. He has the alternative sugars. He has the alternative whipped cream. I love it.
The alternative lifestyle, some may say. Oh,
some may say. Now, fan or not a fan, you know those flights of dessert, the little shot glasses?
The little desserts.
Yeah, the little
desserts. Like Seasons 54.
Like pedophores?
Like they give you, it's a taster of, instead of a big.
Instead of a big old dessert.
Pedophores, yeah.
Okay.
Do you? Yes, fan? No fan?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what they are. Like, if we're having a smattering of, like, little things, like, you know, we could have, like, a little, like, opera cake. Classic dessert. We didn't talk about it. But if you're like blending strawberries and cream and putting it in a shot glass and calling it dessert, I mean?
Like some places they'll put the carrot cake in a little shot glass, or you know, I've never seen it done with a creme brulee, but it can be. It's just so that you can taste more of a whole dessert tray than to have one of a big dessert.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, the more the merrier.
Yeah, I like that style. You get a little more for your palate.
You mentioned an espresso martini, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Now,
he
definitely how did. Do you like your espresso martini? Fan or not a fan? Does it have a splash of Baileys or it's just straight dark?
No, a classic espresso martini, period.com, right? And I do it, actually, because I'm a tequila stan. So it's the Casamigos, because Casamigos has, like, a little bit of a vanilla back instead of the vodka. And the espresso and the Kahlua. And, like, that espresso's got to be fresh.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And shake it up, bing, bang, boom. 3 coffee
Very
beans.
Very nice.
Classic. That Bailey's. Listen, I can't do all that milk. Nope.
True.
It'll be game over for me.
I do like a little splash of Bailey's in mine, but I can go both ways, and I've had it both ways, and I love a good espresso martini. So, and I kind of am digging that recipe. So I might have to make that myself.
Casamigos espresso martinis. Let me tell you, vodka doesn't agree with me anymore. I turned 41, and I was like, no more vodka. We're fighting.
The tequila espresso martini is delicious. I've had it a number of times. A bartender turned me on to it. He did not use the Casamigos. I think the bottle was like a Delatila or forget the name of it. But it's delicious. So I agree with you for sure. I am a fan. Now, when you're at the end of the meal, are you doing a coffee or an espresso?
Hopefully my date.
Oh,
there it is. That's the right answer, everybody. That's the right answer. That's the right answer.
And that is the perfect. That's the perfect segue into telling everybody. In case our listeners don't know about your show, tell them about your show, or recommend a show of yours that you've done recently that they must check out.
Yes, I want to go back though. The question was coffee or what?
Oh, your date.
or espresso.
Coffee or espresso? Oh, definitely espresso. Espresso, yeah. And I learned from really my mother. Really. I learned from my mother, shout out to Mama Gladys, that woo-hoo. You get a little Zambuca.
Okay.
Right? You get a shot of Zambuca, but you don't need the full shot, right? And you pour a little bit into your espresso. Okay. Delish. You don't need any sugar. You don't need anything else, right?
That's
so. But you have to have you have to like that like anise, licorice, Zambuca flavor.
Gotcha.
But mm-hmm. it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So that's a little tip for you out there. My show is called In Your Mouth. It's the only food podcast on the airwaves that celebrates the stories of LGBTQ people in the food space. So okay. What does that mean? It's, you know, the kitchen can be, like many other professions, can be overly hyper-masculine and full of toxic masculinity. And so it's hard enough just to walk in there to be yourself as a normal person, right? Because there's a lot of madness happening in most kitchens. Forget it if you're a woman or a person of the LGBTQ nation here. And there's that. And then having an understanding of that behind the line or in most food spaces is little to none unless that space has been curated like that. I didn't set out for the podcast to be like that, but 4.5 years mm-hmm. later, it's what it kind of took on a life of its own and now provides a platform to all sorts of queer people doing amazing things in food, from people like Kaylin Allen, who you may know, I just dropped a name. You probably remember Kaylin Allen from way back when, the Ellen Show, but he became famous okay. because he was the one doing critiques of people making food. He'd be like, okay. mayonnaise? Oh, no, you couldn't serve that to your children, right? Southern, hysterical, and then Ellen found him and made him famous, to like Neil Patrick Harris's husband, David Burtka, who's a Le Cordon Bleu trained chef, to Michael Twitty, who is a food historian, queer, Jewish, black wow. historian, who mm-hmm. traced the food pathways from the enslaved back to Africa, James Beard Award winning. So it's all these really interesting stories. And yeah, we'll start with love of food. And all of a sudden, I'll find myself talking about, you know, like growing up in the kitchen with grandma and then all of a sudden being thrown out into the streets because you've been, because you've come out of the closet or like, you know, so it's all of this like stuff through food, all these stories through what these people are doing, you know,
yes.
in the food space. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a blessing. I'm 4.5 years into it. As far as favorite episodes, there are so many. I recently, for the first time in 4.5 years, took a break in July, my first break ever. And I run a weekly podcast. Okay. You know, yeah. My first long break ever. I've taken like a week off here or there. Where I've just kind of and I didn't even really take a break. I called it my summer throwback series, where I was pulling up some of my favorite episodes from like a couple years ago, just okay. in case you missed them, because there's a lot of content there. The Pride series is a really great place to start because you kind of get a smattering of like people's stories. It's like a collective of people's like coming out stories and things and views on just kind of what it's like being out in the world today. Yeah, there's just a lot of like great things and great stories out there. And I always say to my guests, as much as it is my platform, it's mm-hmm. actually a platform created for you.
For them, yeah, absolutely.
To tell your story. So this is as much your space as it is mine.
Fantastic, man. That sounds like a good journey, starting with food and you're expressing yourself.
Yeah, it just opened so many doors. And even before I hit record, I mean, we had a conversation before we hit record, fellas. And I don't talk too much before we hit record, but I always say, listen, I'm not here to be Barbara Walters. I didn't set out to like ask you any sort of hard hitting questions and mm-hmm. and whatnot. I'm here to celebrate you. I love to be an idiot. I love to have a good time, you know, I love to laugh a lot. But if the conversation takes us someplace serious, it's not necessarily what I set out to do, but
it's not a bad thing either, though.
Yeah,
yeah, we're talking
about it.
You're letting
it
out.
We're talking about it, you know, and we've had some like some intense conversations from Chef Denovan Miranda. Oh, such a great episode. And it's part of the summer throwback series as well. I found him on Chopped, watching an episode of Chopped. And what attracted me to him besides him being like this beautiful Filipino man, I mean, stunning. But what attracted me to him was that he really pushed this storyline of his authentic self and him coming out to his father on his deathbed. And,
oh wow.
And I usually don't start in that place, but the podcast just started in that place. I was like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
And ooh, it was a roller coaster, but it was like beautifully intense, you know?
Yes. Sometimes you're on that ledge of creativity and you just have to go with it.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, well, we're here. We're going, you know?
Fantastic. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today about desserts and our favorite desserts, about your show. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time, so Danny and I are very appreciative. So
I'm very, very grateful and honored just to be allowed into your space and having, you know, you giving me time to come on and invite me on. I mean, it's very rare that I'm, like I said, that I'm in the passenger seat here. So it's it's always an honor and a pleasure. So thank you as well. But I have a question for you all. Death Row Desserts. How is this not a thing, right?
Death Row Desserts.
Like your last meal? Your last meal. Like my last meal definitely would be a cheese platter, meats and cheeses, breads, give me the whole like tapas experience for my last meal. Yes. But like, what would be your death row dessert?
Ooh.
Well, I tell you what, my aunt, who has since died a few years ago, she was amazing with desserts, amazing in the kitchen. And she made these butter tarts that were out of this world. And I felt bad for her because she took all day to make them and it takes 2 seconds to just gobble one up.
Crush them.
And yeah, we would crush them. So if I had a batch of hers on death row, I would die a happy man. Bring on the guillotine, bring on the lethal injection, whatever you got. I got a smile on my face.
Yep. Like do it while I'm eating.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I can honestly be very simple and have me some hot chocolate chip cookies on death row and call it a day.
Okay.
Yeah. With a big frozen, like frosty mug of milk. Oh, I'm all in. Yeah.
I'll skip the milk because I'll probably shit myself anyway. Like if I'm
dying. It doesn't matter. We're going. Yeah, it's all over. Fuck it.
But I definitely chocolate. Definitely like a chocolate chip cookie or like some like three layered like chocolate mousse like cake or something.
Yeah.
Or like Black Forest.
Okay.
It's definitely chocolate.
Getting on with the chocolate. Not a lava cake, though. Or a brownie.
No, bean. No, no. F her. F her. Right? Like Mariah said, I don't know her.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Thanks again. And we look forward to having you again in the future. I will definitely keep up with you. And Michael Munoz, check his show out. It's In Yo Mouth Podcast.
Yo Mouth!
Weekly. And he is back, baby. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villains. Subscribe, 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 people.
See you later.
Later. Spanish accent, body from hell. My classy, sassy, missy, prissy. My gangster. Shorty roll L's, make money on a DL. Spanish accent, body from hell. Yo, I got this little shorty that I call my little lady. This is the one that drive my brains crazy. Cause even when I'm Swayze, she's still gonna have my baby. Because she has my heart and she drives my Mercedes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.